And welcome to Cecil's Unknown Achievers. I'm Cecil Archbold Jr. This podcast brings you those hardworking entrepreneurs that you've never heard of. Today's chat is with someone who has combined creative skills with a love of teaching. Like many others, this entrepreneurial venture was born out of some changing life dynamics. That, combined with a burning desire to see others experience their own creative juices flowing, was the starting point of the business. Please join me as I speak with Liz Credio of Art in the Garage with Liz. Liz, thanks for joining me today. I want to give the listeners an opportunity to get to know you and your business, of course. So let's get started. So your venture is called Art in the Garage. Just kind of give us a brief overview of what that is.
So it started, I was teaching at other facilities, and life changed a little bit. And I had all the supplies and everything. And so we're sitting out in the garage one day, and I'm like, you know, we need to do this for ourselves. So that's how Art in the Garage started. And so it started literally, this is my garage. Okay. The other half is all my stuff too, but my husband has to get his car in. That was the deal. So this is my portion of where my car goes. Okay. And so I started teaching jewelry and really got into it, and I really loved it. I loved pottery too. And my father passed away, and I got some money from him. So I decided to get a kiln. And that's how the pottery started. Okay. I was teaching pottery at other facilities. And so then we started doing pottery, and I started with Facebook, doing some boosts on Facebook, and then a lot of it just became word of mouth. And that's how I evolved. And it started in October of 2017 already.
Okay.
So it's been going for a while now. So it's fun. I've met a lot of great people. And I just enjoy it. I really, really enjoy it.
So do you
how it started.
Do you have a background in arts and creative stuff?
I don't, but my whole life I've been creative. So I've always been, like in school, I was very creative with drawing and sculptures and stuff like that. And then I think after school, you know, I had to go get a job. And so it kind of went on the back burner. But then I also garden. And gardening is really kind of a form of art. So I was gardening a lot. And we actually started a landscaping company that we did for multiple years until I got a little too old for all of that heavy lifting. And so I've always been creative my whole life. So I think it's been since I've been a little kid.
Okay. So you've been doing it, what, 5-6 years now?
Yeah, going on 6 years.
What would you say, I guess, when you mentioned you had some, your dad had passed and you got some funds to kind of start things. What really kind of led you to venture out and do this? Because anytime you start a business, obviously it's a bit of a risk. And
right. Well, my husband lost his job after 30 years. And so that was life changing for us. And I think I needed to do something for a little bit more income. Mm-hmm. And then also, honestly, for my sanity, I think it helped both ways. And I think that's how it all started, was because of him losing his job, and I needed to do something to supplement that income. And so that's how it really, really started. And also, I was teaching at other facilities. And so sometimes you have to, I don't know the right word for it, but do it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I was making other people money. And at this point, I think I needed the money more than perhaps maybe the other people. I don't know about that. But I think that's how it started. It's just for the fact of doing it for ourselves.
So what was the facilities you mentioned you were, what was that about?
I was teaching at the center in Palos Park. I did the McCord House, and then I also did libraries, local libraries, and park districts. So I would have to bring all my supplies there, you know, pack it up, bring it there, unpack it, you know, repack it and bring it back. And I mean, it was fun to do that, but it was just a lot more work.
Sure.
Then, you know, now, you know, my commute is very short. It's like 2 steps. So sure. It's nice to have that short little commute.
So these places would host your classes?
Correct.
How big of a space did you typically have?
Well, I will only do up to 12 people. There's a couple factors in 12 people is you have to have so many tools for so many people. So you could only, supply so many things. And then also I think after 12, you kind of lose the connection of really being able to give people, what they came for. And even like with kids pottery classes, I usually do six because at six, you really can give the people the experience in the learning process of the whole process, And then also here in the garage, I have 13 chairs. I always say I have 13 chairs, one for me, 12
One
for the
for you.
students. And that's as far as I'm going to go. So
Okay. So your preference is to kind of give some individual attention, and that
absolutely.
keeps it kind of tight and intimate, not too many people.
Correct. Yeah. And I think once you get more than that, you kind of lose that connection, and it's very personal, it's very quaint. So it's not this big giant venue that, I get lost in. I want people to have that experience. And at the end of the day, I love to teach. And if I stop teaching, if it gets to that point where it's so big that I stop teaching, I think I would lose my ultimate goal.
Sure. So take us back to kind of when you were making that decision from doing it at the libraries and the various places to now doing it in your own space in your garage. What sort of challenges were you going through at that time, and maybe some things that you were maybe a little nervous about that's
I was nervous. I think the biggest challenge was getting all of the supplies, just even lighting. We talk about lighting. If I turn off all the lights and turn the two lights on that we started with, I don't even know how I taught that way. I mean, it was two little lights and we did it, But as I moved on, you get more and more things, more and more equipment, supplies, storage, like on the other side of here is all the storage. And over here is like you could see like there's a cabinet here filled with things. And so I think the process was really just building up the equipment and the tools and the supplies. I think that was the biggest challenge. Just even tables. I started with one table and then you start with two and then you just keep going on. Even with chairs, you just have to slowly get into it. It's not like I came in and had all this money and just sunk all this money into it. It was a
Right.
slow process.
What have you learned from that experience that you might do differently?
Honestly, I don't think I would. I don't think I would do anything differently. If I had the money, what I would do differently is have a space that was just the studio. Because, here you walk through my garage, my car can't get in here. It would be great to have one day, I mean, that's my goal, one day to have a self-standing studio with a bathroom. I went to get a bathroom here and it was like just to get the toilet. It was crazy money. So, I have three dogs. I have to put my dogs up for somebody to use the bathroom. So that's a challenging thing. But as a dream, I would love to have a self-standing studio.
Is that something that you see down the road, perhaps?
One day, I'm hoping.
Okay.
I'm hoping. I don't know if it would be here or after I retire. It's really expensive in Illinois right now, so I'm hoping that little shift will happen where maybe things will come down that we could actually build a studio. I do have the property for it. It's just it's the funds, and right now we're enjoying what we're doing. So.
So how do you balance the time? Obviously, you're working your regular job and devoting time to this. Are you doing this during the week, just on weekends?
No, I do this during the week sometimes. I do a lot of privates during the week. So I'll have people come do privates like on Monday and Tuesdays. And then Thursdays we do pottery class every Thursday night. And then I do a class every weekend. And there's some days that like a couple weeks ago I did Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, along with my other job.
Okay.
But I love doing it. And so that's the difference.
You it's know, not
there's
really
a huge
work.
difference when you love to do it. Even this weekend coming up, I took off. I have no classes scheduled. And I'm talking to my husband yesterday, and I'm like, I really should schedule a class. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel guilty not scheduling a class, but I am going to actually, this weekend, I'm going to create. So it's all about creating new projects for okay. the upcoming month.
Now, is your husband side by side in you working yeah. this, or are you the solopreneur here?
Well, you know, I am really the solo, but last month he designed a heart necklace, and it went crazy. I mean, like, everybody was like all over it. I had to do two classes. The classes were full. So he signed his design, and, you know, but he came out here and drew it out, and then he left, you know, and so I created like his design. So I took his thing on paper, and then I actually, you know, put it all together. And so it was fun. I mean, he has all the answers when he comes out here, and I just kind of shoo him away. You know, I'm like, it's doing okay, you know?
Okay.
So, but he usually just stays away.
So what kind of people take your classes? Age-wise, male, female, kids?
I would say 99% of it is female. When I get a male, I get all excited, you know, that there's actually a male in my class. Mm-hmm. So that's fun when I get them. Age-wise, I would say 40 to 60 is probably the average age coming in. But I've had 3-year-olds, and I have, 80-year-olds coming in. But usually between 40 and 50 is really the age group that does come. But I do have some amazing kids that come that just, I mean, they blow your mind on how talented and how, you know, kids don't overthink things, and they just really, they're like little sponges. So the age group varies, but that's the average.
Now, are these folks that have some artistic talents somewhat, or are they?
Some come in real green. Like, you know, people always say, you know, I'm not talented. And I always say, if I can make it, I could teach it. Mm-hmm. So no matter what I make, I could teach you how to do it. And that's one of the things that I always tell people. There's nothing in here that I put up as a class that you cannot make.
So there's hope for me who can't draw or anything.
Yes, there's hope for everybody. And the thing is anything takes a little bit of practice. I mean, it's
sure.
not going to come out just like mine. So we, you know, you do have to practice at it to get perfection, but that takes time.
Right.
You know, but, you know, nobody ever walks out totally disappointed. Like, oh my goodness, I couldn't do that. So, and then I also do, which I need to put up, we do, it's called $5 Friday or $6 Saturday. And it's a 2-hour class, and I charge $5 or $6. And we work out of our recycle bin. So I have a recycle bin of all this copper. And so you could come and you could make things if you know what you're doing, or you could literally just practice. So for $5, you could come for 2 hours and just practice. And I really encourage people to come and do that.
How do people typically find out about your class? Just from others who've taken it?
Well, a lot of it is Facebook, but then there's a lot of word of mouth. I try to do art fairs, like local art fairs. I try to get out there and push my name out there to let people know that I'm doing classes. And I just went to a craft fair the other day. Well, it was a de-stashing fair where people were trying to get rid of their overabundance of crafts.
Okay.
And so my word got, you know, there was a girl that knew me, so she's spreading my word there too. It was one of my students. So a lot of it's word of mouth, Facebook, my website.
You got the full-time job. You got the, you said no more gardening.
Oh, I do garden for myself.
Still do garden. Okay.
Just no, for nobody else. Yeah.
Okay.
That is my, at the end of the day, that's my passion.
All right.
Gardening. Yeah.
So what's the kickback, relax, Liz is not working. What are you doing?
Gardening.
That's it? Okay.
Yes. And in the winter, you know, in the winter, not so much, but I garden so much that I think the winter is my break.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how are you handling, obviously you're in your garage. Are people more coming in the spring and summer, or do they come in year round throughout the winter as well?
Well, I would say it's year round. The worst month I would say would be December. November, I'm pretty good because people want to make things. And then December, January dies down a little bit. But this January was crazy. But that was my husband's design. So,
okay. So if you had, I guess, unlimited resources, what would you do to, oh, you said kind of have your own space.
Yes.
Outside
yes.
of that.
For sure.
What do you need right now that would benefit you in what you're doing now, maybe in this space?
Tool-wise, the only tool that I really need right now is a guillotine. I would love to get, that's on my list of, you know, my hope I'll get a guillotine for everybody. Otherwise, you know, right now I'm set in a toilet.
So you don't have to mess with the dog and bring it
right,
in and out,
right,
huh?
Right, you know, so. But I mean, other than that, you know, if I had unlimited money, I would love to teach more silver classes. Silver is so expensive. We do a lot of things with copper, especially when you're learning. You know, if somebody comes in and does a project and say they cut it wrong or they don't like the way it looks, I could always give them another piece of copper and try again. You know, when you're working with silver, you can't do that. But a lot of people want to work with silver, but it's just...
So it's shiny.
Yes, it's shiny. Yeah. And silver is harder to work with than copper, believe it or not. Yeah.
So how do you get these materials that you're using?
Well, a lot of the materials, it's through the websites. We'll go to websites and buy them. Sometimes I find deals on Etsy or, you know, I was just at this art fair that I found some good deals on some tools and supplies that I'm going to do another project with. Okay. I'm always looking. I always look for the best deal because if I could get the best deal, then I could teach this class at a reasonable price to people. And I don't keep a lot of things really close to me. So if you were to if you were to come here and say, Liz, where did you get this? I'm usually like writing it down or people are taking pictures of where I get them. Because at the end of the day, I really want people to keep making jewelry or to keep making pottery. Because when they lose that interest, they're not coming. And so if you keep everything so guarded, people get frustrated. So
right,
I'm pretty
right.
open about everything.
Now, I always like to ask, you know, what, as you learned some lessons when you started, as you're working it right now, what would you say to folks who are considering starting businesses, maybe not necessarily exactly what you're doing, but before they venture into the unknown of world of being their own boss, what kind of advice would you give folks?
I think the first thing is love what you do. You have to love what you're doing because if you know you're your own boss, so you're your own motivator. And if you find that it's something that you are passionate about, it's going to go to the wayside. So I think that's the number one important thing is you need to make sure whatever you're doing, you need to love what you're doing. Because if you lose that passion, you know, it's frustrating. I don't want this to be like my regular 9-to-5 job where you kind of lose that little bit of luster.
Right.
I want this to always be exciting. And then I think have a budget. You know, you need to have a budget. And don't just go spending this money on equipment that you don't need. You know, research it. Try to use what you have. And even in the studio, there's certain things that, like I tell the students all the time, you know, I could go to Lowe's and buy a dowel rod and cut it into 6 pieces and have a dowel rod for these people that cost me maybe $2. Or I could go and buy the pliers that do the same exact thing for $30 a piece. You know, so I'm still at the end game, you know, maybe one day I'll be able to spend all that money on that. But right now there's other ways that you could budget your money and still have the same outcome in the end. You know,
so have a plan, basically
a
solid plan.
And really figure out, you know, what you need. You know, don't just buy something because you think, you know, research it and make sure that this is what you really need for your business to get going.
Yeah, I think a lot of people start off and it's such a great idea and they're excited and they don't take that step back to really think about budget, like you said, and all the other things that are involved in starting and running a business and maintaining it.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of equipment, like, or even cabinets. Like this cabinet right behind me was at an estate sale. I got it for $20. You know, I'm like, tell my husband, let's go down there, and it fits perfect. There's stuff that I've garbage picked out. There's a thing underneath the table over here that I literally walking down the street with it over my head, bringing it home, and it fit in perfect. You know, so sometimes it doesn't have to be perfect. You know,
you can get a lot of good stuff at estate sales.
Right. You know, so don't, you know, just go, you know, head first in it. You know, you could really, and there's even stuff on that other side that people have given me. And I mean, it's crazy how you could really put things together on a small budget to start really spend the money on the things that you really need.
Can you take us around, or you got some things there that you can show us?
Sure. Well, here, maybe I could just lift this up. Sure. Maybe we could just go that way.
Whatever you need to do.
Are you there?
I'm still here. Yep.
There we go. Okay. So let me see how I could rearrange this. We're just going to have to go this way. So over here, this is a lot of the jewelry that I've made here. So I have it on display so people could come in and take a look. And next to these, you could see all of these are rolling pins. These are all rolling pins that do texture in your pottery. And I literally just got three more in the mail today. So I'm excited.
Okay.
This is the newest jewelry project we just did there. It's called the zipper bracelet. And then, so if you move on over here, oops, I'm kind of getting you all goofed up here. This is just kind of where I store all my supplies. And there's a cabinet down here that has everything in it. And here, up here is some more necklaces that I've done in classes. This is the kiln. We actually just did some, some goddesses here. This was a private. So this is ready to come out of the kiln.
Okay.
So this is ready to get glazed. And then let me scooch you over on this side. And over here is like all the glazes there. If you could see them all in the bins.
You got a big garage there.
Yeah, it's a 2.5-car garage and deep. And then there's more supplies there, my toolbox. And then here is like where everybody's stuff goes to get ready to glaze. So all this stuff here is ready to have people glaze. Okay. And then when you do the pottery, you would bring it over here. I have everything fired right now, but right now there's some bisque ware in there. And then here's another little kiln. I have another little kiln here. We don't use too often, but that's one of the things that I told you, you know, I spent my money on, and I could kick myself in the butt. You know, I should have thought that one through. And then
lesson learned.
Yeah. This is a little messy over here, but this is called a slab roller. I don't know if you could see it. It's a big thing that you would roll all your clay out on.
Okay.
And then there's a wheel. There's a wheel on the bottom there. And then there is more storage and more tools. And you see all in that corner there, there's a whole bunch of books and magazines and a whole bunch of stuff that I do a lot of my research on. And so that is my garage. So that is
impressive workshop.
It's fun. Sometimes it's cleaner than other times, but you know, it depends on what's going on in here.
Sure.
Sometimes it can be very messy. Sometimes it can be very clean. So it just depends on when you get here. So I do rearrange the tables, and like I said, I could fit 12 people in here comfortably. You know, we have a lot of fun. It's fun. I enjoy it. Like I said, I would love to have that other space, you know, that space that you would have, you know, don't have to worry about bringing a car in and all that stuff.
Okay.
But, you know, someday down the road.
It's working for you right now.
It is working for us right now. Yeah. We all have fun. So, and it was, Cecil, honestly, like we've been here for 16 years and, it was like almost set up for us, you know, the way my house is designed. In the winter, people could come right through my house. They come right through my family room, straight into the studio. So it's really nice. I have water out here. It was out here before, and we also have it heated. And so it was kind of like
that's helpful
preset for me, sure. You know, it was just kind of waiting for me. And then even in the summer, if it's really nice out, we open the door and it's nice. You hear all the birds, and because we back up to the woods. And so it's really nice. And then when it's hot, I actually open the back door and we have air conditioning. I'll never forget one time somebody came and it was in the winter and she's wearing her parka. You know, she's like all like dressed up like this. And she goes, well, I didn't think you're going to have heat. I'm like, I'm not working out here in the cold with you, you know? So it is heated and air conditioned when it needs to be. So.
Okay. Well, it's comfortable. Stimulating the creative juices. You're comfortable there.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
So speak to folks as to why they should come to you and what they can get.
Well, you know, I always say when people come here, I think the arts have lost a lot. Like in school, I don't think we do enough arts, and especially as adults, we don't do enough arts. And I feel that when you come here, if it be for a half hour or 2 hours or whatever it is, you forget about all of the static on the outside. You forget about your woes and all that stuff that's going on in the world. And sure. I really truly believe that gives your body that little bit of time to regenerate because you forget about it. And I think that's, you know, we're so stressed. We have so much going on. Even the kids, you know, everybody has a schedule. It's just crazy on how busy we are. And I think we just need to get our bodies reset and just relax. And it's a great group of people that come here. Everybody is so helpful. I'm so grateful for everybody that comes here because it is such a good group of people that I just absolutely love it.
That's awesome. My wife and I did like an art painting where you bring your wine and you kind of just paint. Right. And I can't draw at all. I mean, stick figures are, that's kind of my limit. But I just followed the instructions and it looked okay. If it was
good.
Within arm's reach, I'd show you. But hers was a lot better than mine. But it kind of looked like what it was supposed to. Kind of.
Well, we have a little saying up here on this little stand here. It says a man on a galloping horse would never see it. And so we always say that, you know, if you walk fast enough past it, you know,
right.
It's going to look perfect. You know, and then there's two other sayings that we always say. We always say it's just play. At the end of the day, it's just play. Mm-hmm. And then when people mess up, I always say, this is how we learn.
Right.
I mean, this is how we learn. And it's crazy how many people will go through a project and maybe cut the wrong wire. And they're looking like, oh my God, I'm devastated. What am I going to do with this? And we figure it out. We figure mm-hmm. out how to fix it. And, you know, everything is fixable.
And it's a one of a kind creation, and everybody's is going to be different anyway. So.
Absolutely. And that's what's kind of cool about like pottery that I love about pottery. Like all of those, we did these, they're called goddesses. Let me grab one and I'll bring it. So there are these goddesses. It's a little planter. You can see it's a little planter.
Oh, wow.
And we all made these goddesses. And every single one of them, it's crazy. We did the same project. Every single one of them turns out different. It's the same thing, but it's totally different. Different heights and different body shapes.
Sure.
And different little bowls. Like this one, she did a little heart. You know, this one did a round one. So
okay.
it's really fun. You have the same project, but they're all different, you know.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And these women, like some of these women that did it, they're like, I never touched pottery. I can't do this. And everyone made one. They're all beautiful. I can't wait for them to be glazed. So.
Wow, that's nice. Hey, thank you so much, Liz. Appreciate you taking the time. And it was real interesting to learn about what you're doing there.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Cecil. And I wish the best for you.
All right, same for you.
Hopefully you'll keep this going. I you know, this is great for...
I want to, absolutely.
Yeah.
I love doing it. I love doing it.
Awesome. Me too. Thank you much.
Thanks, everyone, for joining me as I spoke with Liz Credio of Art in the Garage with Liz. If you're looking to get in touch with your creative side, go ahead and reach out to Liz through her website, artinthegaragewithliz.com. That's
InTheGarage, withliz.com. Or send her an email to artinthegaragewithliz@gmail.com. That's artinthegaragewithliz@gmail.com. Or give her a call at 708-822-6767. Until next time, this is Cecil Archbold Jr. with Cecil's Unknown Achievers.